This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great weekend and glad you're spending time with us on 89.3. 877-217-5757 is your number. And if you'd like to send an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with Daryl Gissel, the Chief Administrative Officer for Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome, who was elected in the year of 2016, running for re-election next year. And Daryl Gissel is one of the most interesting people in our community. He ran against Sharon Weston Broome in 2016, and lo and behold, you went to work for her. That had to be an interesting conversation.
Well, I always tell the story that I tried to help the mayor when she was elected. I did a little work in the transition, had a visit with her one day about blight, which is a subject that's near and dear to me as one who worked for years in the downtown market trying to help bring it back. In the middle of the conversation, the mayor said, "Would you consider being the CAO?" My conversation with her was, that may not be good because I endorsed you, and we know that people think all type of weird things. Oh, there was some deal, which there certainly wasn't. The mayor said, "That's 9 months ago. That's not really an issue." I said, "I'm there if that's what you want," but I stressed to her that it was her key pick and it had to be somebody she trusted and had faith in. And she laughed. I kept harping on that. And when I went to leave, the mayor laughed and said, "Well, you are trustworthy, aren't you?" And I said, "Of course." I mean, it was a joke, but that's really how it happened. You know, I'm there kind of as an outsider. I'm committed to try and help make the city better. And that's where the mayor is, too. It's not about politics. It's about trying to do the right thing.
Well, Daryl Gissel, at one time, was the executive director of the Louisiana Republican Party back when the GOP in the state was a small entity.
Right.
You actually helped make it a much bigger entity.
Right.
And since then, you ran as an independent. Are you an unaffiliated voter right now?
Still an independent.
An independent. What prompted that?
You know, in that whole agonizing thing when I debated about running for mayor, it really was the feeling that Baton Rouge is a divided city. We've all seen that. And that my concern was that it's hard to run a city in today's world with a political label. I think the mayor has certainly struggled with some of that. I had somebody who once told me, "Oh, I have a hard time working with you because you work for a liberal Democrat mayor." This mayor is anything but a liberal Democrat mayor. I mean, she's there doing the right thing for the city. It's not about being a Republican or a Democrat. Again, it's about doing what's right. And I think when you look at the mayor's background, there's a mayor who actually worked for Lobby at one point in her lifetime. She was a TV anchor person, mayor pro tem of the House and Senate. I mean, again, she's always been one who's tried to bring people together.
And a graduate of Regent University
with
Pat Robertson. So her background is not the traditional, quote, liberal Democrats background.
Right.
But Mayor Broome, who will be with us on the 21st, 15 days from now, has quite a story to tell, and we're going to comment on some of the issues that she inherited that are still ongoing. Some have improved, some would arguably have not improved, but we'll talk about that with Daryl Gissel as we move along. But something that I think should be noted, and I've said it before, I think Daryl, as much as anybody, had a major impact on downtown Baton Rouge, in particular Spanish Town. You have one of the prestige addresses in the city.
Right. Everybody laughs at my address, 666 North 6th.
666 North 6th. You're not worried about any kind of demonic influence. I remember when Ronald Wilson Reagan, who's, if you add up the letters in each of his names, it's 666. When he retired and moved back to California in Beverly Hills, appropriately, he moved to St. Cloud Drive, and it was 666, and Nancy had the address changed to 668. So, but you're 666, and you're going to 666 North.
It's interesting. The house I'm in, which is large, was actually built as a duplex, and it has two addresses. The one address is 666 North 6th, but it does have an unofficial address of 668. So maybe I'm following Nancy and Ronnie's model.
As a former head of the Republican Party, when Reagan was president, Daryl Gissel probably has great admiration for the 40th American president, as
Absolutely.
Do many. And let's talk about that for a moment. Reagan was a guy whose politics were conservative, and he took pride in that. But he was not the kind of personality the current president is.
Right.
And when somebody at the top of the chain is hurling vitriol every day. Does that affect everybody else in the country, or is it pretty much a non-entity what's going on in Washington?
I think that's part of what we see here. You know, we have efforts like the St. George breakaway effort, if I can talk about that, where I think some of that division goes back to a nationwide division. And the question is, how do we pull people back together in a method of civility where we can actually sit together and talk about issues? I think everybody who looks at politics talks about that. And I think, again, that's one place where this mayor has a great opportunity, and she's exerted that leadership of trying to help bring people together.
St. George is going to be a huge issue this year.
Absolutely.
Where do you think it's going?
I think it's up to the people in the community to make the statement, do we want to be together? I think collectively that's where people ultimately come down, is that we want to stay together as one city. When you look at the history of Baton Rouge, early on we were a consolidated government when that was an unusual model. Financially it works. The numbers show that if you break it apart, each side's going to pay more. The Charter Review Commission recently had a meeting, and a discussion came up separate from St. George about why do we have all these different fire districts, and somebody in the group said that doesn't make any sense. Again, it goes back to why you have a consolidated government to try and cut those costs by merging services together.
Why do you think it's being done?
I think, again, you have people on both ends. The recent articles about the rebirth of North Baton Rouge, the effort to help fortify it, I think you have two ends of the city where both groups feel like they haven't been served over the decades. And again, I think it goes back to that political division where everybody's looking out for themselves.
And a listener here says it's all about the schools. Is that valid?
Well, and I think schools are an issue too, but the question is why should we improve schools only in one area? Schools need to be improved everywhere. And I think we all know that part of the issue with schools in Baton Rouge came about from a 40-year consent decree that we struggled to get through. And I think now we're struggling to overcome that.
877-217-5757 for Daryl Gissel, Chief Administrative Officer, for Sharon Weston Broom, the Mayor President of East Baton Rouge Parish. And for those unfamiliar, the mayor is in charge of the entire parish, and she will be even if there is a St. George. But if there becomes a St. George, then that opens up a whole other layer of activity. What happens?
My crystal ball says that if indeed the St. George thing happens, that you probably end up destroying the consolidated government. Pretty hard to have four different cities of smaller size and the main core of the city wouldn't have its own council. I mean, it's hard to operate under that model. So I think that the transition would be huge. And I think what people are forgetting is that then transition would take years to take place and would really, I think, inhibit whatever changes that we need to make collectively. I think it would put reform way on the back burner.
And another listener asked, where is the measure in the legislature that would have the entire parish vote on this?
That actually will come up for a vote in Senate committee on Thursday.
Of this week.
Big day for us. And then at the same time, on the same day, there's a bill that talks about how a transition would take place if there was a division. And again, when you look at just a transition, which I say would probably take years, I think the central transition, which was a small group, probably only 8 or 10,000 people, I think that transition took 2 or 3 years to work through. This is 80,000 plus people, much different scale and scope.
And this, based on entities that have pulled out, is not a contiguous city, it doesn't look like. It's going to be a, kind of a hodgepodge of places. Does that create confusion?
I think if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong on this, we're trying to verify this, I think you actually have one subdivision within the proposed city of St. George where a few streets in the subdivision would be in St. George and the other streets would be in East Baton Rouge or be in Baton Rouge. That kind of explains how tough this is. I mean, what side of the street do you live on, what side of the neighborhood you live on would determine what city you actually live in.
And if things are not changed by the legislature, it'll go to the people of the proposed area. Only they will vote. and it will be on October the 12th, which
yes.
is 5 months and 6 days away. And we're on May 6th, so 5 months and 6 days from now. Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, you're on with Daryl Gissel. Hi, Gustavo.
Good morning. This is completely off topic, but I think this is more urgent and more concerning to a lot of people than the St. George deal that may or may not happen. But why is it that we have so many roads that are being worked on and none of them are completed? Some of them start even before others have been finished.
All right. We're short on time, but Daryl, would you like to respond as we head to the break? Thanks, Gustavo.
One thing to remember about the road issues, some of those are state roads, some are local roads, so that's where you have some of those issues. Government Street, for example, which is being worked on right now, is a project where the road reverts back to the city or the city parish, but it actually is a state road right now. So the division in roads, state and city, explains a lot of that.
877-217-5757. There is still time to talk with Daryl Gissel, Chief Administrative Officer for Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome. We're back after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. For Daryl Gissel, who is the Chief Administrative Officer for the City of Baton Rouge and the parish of East Baton Rouge. Let's go to Patrick in Inniswald. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, Daryl. I read this morning in the Advocate about this North Baton Rouge Development Board, and I guess, you know, there was a 2% hotel tax that was voted in, basically raising taxes on hotels just in North Baton Rouge. No one else in Baton Rouge has to pay those taxes. And yet they pay for this board that I don't see that it's doing anything to really help development in North Baton Rouge other than it's driving the hotel business to South Baton Rouge by raising the taxes on North Baton Rouge. What are they doing to actually spur development in North Baton Rouge other than create a board and have a guy in a snazzy suit walk around talking about it?
I think this will actually be a good week to show where they are, Patrick. It kind of models what happened with the Downtown Development District. You know, the Downtown Development District, a little bit different. Downtown, we taxed ourselves as residents to create that board. And it did take some time to get things underway. Right now, there's kind of a coalescing between the RDA and the North Baton Rouge Economic Development District, where they're actually doing the plans in terms of what areas they'll work on. That group had some internal issues in terms of finding a director, which, again, is unfortunately somewhat inherent in some of these bodies. But I think they're now on the road to doing what they need to do. Their budget's small. I think it's $200,000 that they're collecting. That on its own creates a little bit of a tough road in terms of what you can actually do with those dollars. But they've actually put private dollars and grant money involved in that, too. So I think you should see some actual big efforts coming out this week.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Daryl Gissel. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, Mr. Gissel. With conservative orthodoxy always harping on smaller, less bureaucratic government, why do all these right-wingers in Southeast Baton Rouge want to have another bureaucratic government of St. George?
Well, I think that is an issue, and I think while we're trying to improve efficiency within city government, the mayor's convinced, you know, that staying together is where we have the best economy, much of what you're saying. And I think that's the case that we need to go out and prove to the people in that proposed area.
877-217-5757. Still a chance to talk with Daryl Gissel, the Chief Administrative Officer for the City of Baton Rouge, Parish of East Baton Rouge. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim, and good morning, gentlemen. I just want to, first of all, thank you. I think you guys are doing a good job. I live in Sherwood, around Jefferson Terrace, and they're building a new high school out here on the acres that were set aside to build a school. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? I mean, I think it's good to have new schools being built where they're needed.
Well, I'm not necessarily overly familiar with the schools. I know a little bit about that, and you're right. The tax measures that have been put in place allow us to build new schools. While schools are a concern in the southern part and that proposed St. George area, there are new schools going in there too. I think some of that, the people in that area feel like the schools have been underserved. I think the school board is doing what they can with the dollars they have, trying to make sure that they're serving the needs of everybody. And they have a lot of efficiency moves going on right now, too. I think they've just announced a big move trying to streamline their budget, and that will hopefully help them overall.
Your number is 877-217-5757, Stewart downtown. Hi, Stewart. You're on the air with Darrell Gissel.
Good morning, Jim and Mr. Gissel in the audience. Mr. Gissel, you may and may not be able to answer this. It's related to a concept called adverse possession. Are you familiar with this law?
Does it have to do with property tax?
No, it's got to do with if a building is if a structure is abandoned, someone can file an affidavit with the city and just literally take over the structure as if it is theirs, and they have anywhere between 10 and 30 years to occupy and do improvements. And that is if they cannot contact the owners or if the owners are absent.
I'm not familiar with that concept. You know, we have a couple of things. We have a MOTA-OWN, which is a process in place right now saying that if you have an adjudicated property next to you that hadn't been mowed or taken care of, you can take care of it for 3 years and then gain title. A little bit similar, but Louisiana is really a strong property rights state. So, you know, in some cases, those property rights make it very difficult for us to clean up some of these blighted properties.
Are you still an active realtor?
I put my license on hold, but I still own the real estate company.
Okay. You saw a lot of blighted properties in Spanish
Town
that
and
are
I mean
now
the,
spruced up.
The
How did it happen?
Again, the property rights issue here are really, really tough. Most of the blighted properties we have issues with airship. You know, when you have 20 people who own a piece of property that's worth $6,000 and they have title issues, those properties have a tendency just to sit.
877-217-5757, Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on the air with Darrell Gissel.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. Always good to hear your story. Mr. Gissel, I got a screwball question. Mm-hmm. What can the mayor-president do to raise taxes or get the financing or whatever to raise a teacher salary in Baton Rouge?
Well, and the teacher salaries really have to do with the local school board and then with the state. I think the governor has the bill in that they're struggling with right now, trying to raise the state allocation for teacher pay. The local school board, I think, has struggled with that issue too. And I think part of what they're doing right now with trying to streamline their budget hopefully may allow them to free up some dollars to help with teacher pay raises.
Another listener asked about police pay. That's been an issue.
Absolutely.
How is that being addressed?
Police pay, we just released the police study, which shows that, if I remember exactly, that police pay down, in order to equalize it where we need to be, we need about a 29% increase. And that percentage depends upon the rank of the officer. It probably goes from an 11% shortfall up to about a 40% shortfall in terms of equalizing the pay. The mayor is committed to the police union, the police officers, to help raise pay with the first push trying to make sure that we have right-sized that department in terms of expenses, and the hope is to extract dollars needed for a pay raise out of the existing budget.
29%. That's a
29%
huge gap.
Huge.
That's just to get to the average, right?
The actual cost just for the actual salaries without benefits is about $16 million, if I remember correctly.
All right. You're involved in efficiency in government. This is one of the passions of the mayor, a topic that you don't often hear Democrats talking about. How is this going?
Well, you know, we were able in the budget last year to include money for an efficiency study. We pulled in a national group that's actually been in examining where we can save money. In the 2019 budget, we've actually included money for the same group to go in and examine the police department. Police department has about a $93 million budget, and within that budget, we think, again, we can extract dollars through savings. Example of one efficiency move, Murphy Paul, who's the police chief, made one single administrative move in terms of how we book people into prison. That one move saved 6,800 mm-hmm. man hours. I mean, just one little tiny change made that big of a difference. So the mayor's commitment is to go through city government, find those places where we can save revenue so we can reallocate those dollars to where they need to be.
Do you think this is going to work?
We think we've identified about $7.8 million in general fund that we can actually extract. It's not a quick move. Some of that has to go out in RFPs where we have to do proposals to get people in to change that. I think we can save as much as $4 million in health care benefits.
All right. Leonard on Acadian asks about red light cameras. How much does the city derive from that? I remember Mayor Holden, when it first started, said it was only $1 million a year. It may have gone more than that.
No, it's actually, I can't remember the exact figure. But, you know, it is a revenue stream. But more importantly, I think people talk about the revenue from that. But even more important, it's an issue of public safety. We have one individual, if I remember correctly, who owes the city about $20,000 in red light camera fees. We've shown the video to council members of the guy who must have play a game in terms of running red lights. That's a menace. I mean, that person can kill a driver in a heartbeat.
Just not paying his
Not paying his dues. And you know, the mayor's commitment is if we have a law, we have to make sure we're enforcing it.
877-217-5757, your number. Now we pause for the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Matt Doyle is producing. A little later, we're going to hear from Robin McCullough Beatty, the executive director of the Interfaith Federation of Greater Baton Rouge, and Islamic leader in this community, Imad Nofal, discussing what's going on regarding religious tolerance or lack thereof in our community and in our country. 877-217-5757. In our remaining time with Daryl Gissel, Chief Administrative Officer for the Parish of East Baton Rouge. He works for Mayor President Sharon Weston Broom. And a listener notes the story in today's Advocate that voters in Denham Springs and Watson voted overwhelmingly Saturday to reject bringing back mosquito abatement. Now, taxes are so hard to frame these days in a positive way that it's very difficult to get a tax passed. The mayor was successful with a road tax. How did that happen?
I think the mayor's hard work. Huge community meetings, huge push to explain the tax proposal. And I think the polling data showed that people were just put out with traffic in East Baton Rouge Parish. They were really ready for a change.
There are matching funds for that, I believe, that would involve not only, obviously, people in Baton Rouge paying more taxes, but there is a federal match which will help the cause, if I remember correctly.
We have an ability to use some state dollars, which, again, we still have to fight to get, but we'll match dollars wherever we can get them.
Okay. Well, traffic is a huge issue in this community. No matter where you go in Louisiana, if people come through Baton Rouge, they discuss the traffic, and for good reason. And it's a quality of life issue. And we've had one year after another, it's kind of like the crime situation where people talk about it, and things are done, but it seems that the more things change, the more they stay the same. What can be done to change the drastic situation we have in many cases trying to get to and from work and home?
Well, again, the road tax is the beginning of it, a huge measure. It's probably one of the largest road tax projects going on in the country at this point. So, again, mayors do a lot of credit for pushing this thing through. And she was absolutely committed to do it. You may remember that there was one proposal before this that was rejected by the council. So she came back to the drawing board for a second time and actually pulled in community interests. Mike Wampole, Jim Bernhardt were huge players in that. And I think the mayor showed that if you work leadership the right way, pulling in community partners, that can go a long way.
And a listener notes that in an odd way, this may have actually helped downtown Baton Rouge because some people live there, not only because mm-hmm. it's a beautiful location, but because they don't have to deal with
Absolutely.
All that traffic.
As a property owner, I get a lot of tenants who say exactly that. We don't want to have to fight traffic. We would rather be here. And I think that's what we're seeing all over mm-hmm. the community. You see, as traffic is bad, you see people living in their mm-hmm. own pocket.
And another listener, and this we had Marie Constantine on. I think she bought her house from you.
Absolutely.
You were the realtor.
Absolutely.
She had the 600 block of Spanish Town, beautiful home. But she's complained about Airbnbs
right.
in Spanish Town. Is that a big issue?
Well, it's an issue, and I think it's not only an issue that affects downtown. It's starting to affect the rest of the community. The big push there is the community wants to make sure that people don't come in and just buy a property and turn it into an Airbnb. They want to make sure that an Airbnb is actually owner-occupied, where the owner is the one who's bringing someone in to share the living space.
And lastly, crime. We still have a huge issue right. with crime, in particular murders. How do we address it?
I think it's interesting. Murphy Paul, as police chief, I think is doing a huge job to transform the police department. The figures show right now that so far in 2019, homicides are down by 20%. Overall figures for last year show that overall crime is down by 6.8%. Violent crime last year was down 11%. And at the same time, while the crime rates have come down, the use of force has come down too. Murphy's done an amazing job of trying to get the community involved in policing, which we know from modern day practices that has to happen. The police can't do this job on their own. The mayor's committed to making sure we have the best paid, best trained police force, and Murphy's leading that charge. He's been a great pick as a police chief.
Well, thank you for joining us, Daryl. Hopefully we'll have you back soon. And as
thank
noted,
you.
The mayor will be here in 2 weeks on Tuesday the 21st. So
that's great.
Keep up your diligent work. And
thank you.
Nobody cares more about Baton Rouge than you, and you did not grow up here.
No. Here by choice.
Here by choice, as are many.
Thanks.
It's College Town, and we know
right.
how that works.
Right.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.